All right, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter number 28, and we'll be in a familiar passage, Matthew 28, and we're going to look at verse 19 and 20, and that scripture reference should bring back some memories. If you've been here over the last few years, your Bible should just open up to that passage. We spent so many weeks there in a row, Matthew chapter number 28, and I've prepared something tonight, and a service like tonight is July 5th. Some of you stayed up way too late last night celebrating 250 years, but hey, it's 250 years. I understand that. It's good when you have a missionary come in too to do this, but certainly this time of year to just kind of hit some reset buttons, just to remind us of some things. And so I've got an outline tonight, and I plan on preaching it, but I knew going into this that much, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to, which way I go with this, I'm going to let Brother Diocese tell me. And what I mean by that is based on what he says, which direction I go. So I need to correct doctrine and so I hope you were listening to his testimony. And I'm going to start with that tonight. He mentioned the building they have that seats 350 Filipinos and 200 Americans. I hope you caught that. He didn't mean 350 plus 200. It's either or. But I remember the first time he came to us, he was raising money for that, and we gave $1,000 towards that building. And so we have a part in what is done there. So praise the Lord for that. And so sometimes, and it's like, well, you give into this, you give into this, you give into this, and we should give as the Lord has blessed us, and as the Lord impresses upon us. And sometimes like, well, he hadn't blessed me enough to match what he's impressing upon me. If he's impressing it, he has a way of providing it. And so because we are a giving church and we are a generous church, we give, and sometimes it's just on to the, well, maybe I'll have a couple weeks before there's another one. But I just want to remind us, you saw pictures tonight of a building that we contributed to, and we praise the Lord for that. Part of his testimony, he said that he was going to be a civil engineer, but he knew that the Lord had called him to preach, and he knew that he was to surrender. Now, here's something for the young people, the young adults, even the young married couples, and even some of you older ones to understand. He is able to look back now and see what God has done. But when he was faced, do I step out by faith and do what I feel God has impressed upon me? I don't know how it's going to be done. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know what it means. I just know he's impressed this upon me, and I need to surrender. Yeah. Now, bear in mind, based on his testimony, when he was at that point of surrender, he didn't have everybody around him cheering him on. It was the opposite. You can be a civil engineer. And he surrendered and did what he felt the Lord had for him to do by faith. Everybody with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is just a portion of some things I jotted down. By that one surrender, he changed the trajectory of his entire family. If he didn't surrender, there's no guarantee his mom and dad would have gotten saved. Think about that. But his children... I mean, two out of three aren't bad. MJ's not here. We'll just pick on him. You think about that. His brother's also a pastor. All by one person surrendering. So let's get this devil's lie and get this excuse out of our head, and you can apply this across the board wherever you're at. Am I really going to matter? Well, I think there's a good illustration there. You think about all the souls that have been saved since he surrendered. Think about that. One surrender. Another note I jotted down when it came to that surrender, I refer to him as the godfather of the Bataan Peninsula. He has a lot of influence in that area with other churches. You saw how they were able to help other churches get buildings. from one surrender. I wonder who might be, I preached this morning on America and how much America needs God's mercy. Do you think it would matter, do you think it would make a difference in our country if somebody surrendered and God used them to change the trajectory of their own family? It put another family member in a position to also preach the gospel and then influence others and encourage others to build something for God. You think that would help Jacksonville, Florida? But it only works nowadays for foreign missionaries, doesn't it? They're the only ones that should give up their dreams because, you know, we're Americans. We're entitled. You don't want me to get back on that message again, do you? But think about it. He mentioned, and there's testimony there, that they were able to raise the money and build 6 church buildings and give the building and property to a church in a village so they would have a church. Sounds a lot like what civil engineers do. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return. He didn't give up his dreams. He just surrendered to God. And God is using. Think about that. But remember that. We rejoice in that. There's six villages in the Philippines that got churches, church buildings. So remember that when I come to you in the future and say, this piece of property I've been praying for on the other side of town, I think we ought to buy it. Oh, you're not excited about that, aren't you? And we ought to plant a church there. Then the last thing, and thankfully tonight for some, the last thing I wrote down is the $1,000. If we gave $1,000 the first time and we got spiritual return on that, then we'll commit to $1,000 again. And say, Pastor, when are we gonna, we'll get it over to them. And I'll say more about that, I'm sure, at another time. And so you can plan on that we'll commit to $1,000 to this project. And so we praise the Lord for that. So pray for your missionaries. I'm excited about the DOCs. I'm glad to see what God's doing. One day I'll get over there and see the work. And I don't trust him enough just yet. I've answered him the same question like 8 times. If you come over, do you like balut? The answer is no. I will not eat. Anyway, let's get back into the things of the Word of God. Pray for them, if you would. Matthew chapter number 28. Think about the things that I just said. Remind you from their testimony. It could be your testimony. There's testimonies like that in here today. If you'll just give to God what you have, God will use it. Matthew 28, we know this passage of Scripture. We'll look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I just want to remind us tonight of why missions matters. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the testimony we've heard. Thank you for the reminder of what you'll do with the little we give and how you make it much. And Father, I pray that you'll just bless the remaining few minutes that we have. May be reminded of our efforts, the sacrifices we make, why they're important. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We know the context of what we refer to as the Great Commission. And it has not been long since our Lord was resurrected from the dead. It will not be long before he ascends into heaven. And what he was speaking to his church about was not building buildings, accumulating wealth. It was not making themselves more comfortable. It was to teach all nations. It was to give the gospel and then to train and disciple. And we spent weeks and weeks on the Great Commission, and we were reminded of that. It is the missions is the mission of the church, and I believe you know how I feel about missions. When I refer to missions, I'm not just talking about on the other side of the world. There are missions in our neighborhoods. There's missions in our communities. One of the great advantages of the way America is today, America is a melting pot for sure. And you can influence and affect countries even within our own country. But if we should not lose our passion for souls, our passion for investing in others. If I can put it to you like this tonight, we know what the Lord is commanding. Are you with me? You know what the Lord is commanding them to do. We've spent weeks and weeks and weeks dissecting that and breaking it down and looking at it from different angles in Scripture. But the word that comes out to me tonight is you have to have investment to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, there has to be some investment. Now, I think of that initial $1,000 that we invested in that building, in that ministry. That is an investment. Investment is not something you expect to get back right away. And you say, well, when are we going to get that back? We'll get that back when we get in glory. That's when we'll see the fruit of that investment. But for you and I to fulfill the Great Commission, it means we have to make an investment. We have to invest our time. You don't get to do everything you want to do and invest in the things of the Lord like we really should or want to. At some point, we have to look at our schedule and our time, and we have to see what is the most valuable thing I can do with my time. Certainly our treasure. We are to be good stewards. But you cannot have an investment with that return without investing some finance. We have to be willing to do that, and this church is. Again, tonight, I'm not bringing a message to try and move us in a direction we've never been. It's just to remind us this evening. Let me say to us, I just have, some of you are going to be so happy to hear this. I'm back to 4 points tonight. Since I've been in these other series, it's been 7 and 8, and I'm back to 4 tonight. But I can make 4 feel like 14. So, number one, missions is the heart of God. God has desired that all people know Him. I alluded to this morning, but there was so much. I don't know how many people would have caught it. It certainly wasn't an emphasis. But as he started the video tonight and how key the United States was in the nation of Philippines, fascinating history. But right after that, the open door for missionaries to come in. I made the analogy how God treats nations this morning, and that's a good picture of how there can be a war, there can be conflict in a door open. And God's people are ready to send people in. I think of Hudson Taylor, who is my favorite missionary of all time to, right after Brother Deosi, he says, my favorite missionary of all time to read about and study. And during that time frame in England, when China opened up, the Christians in the churches were praying and they were ready to send missionaries. I know that our country is no stranger to conflict over the last 20 years. But we think of even what the military has been involved in the last few years, and let's go back 10 years, 20 years, and let me make an analogy. I think I know the answer, but I don't really know. Have we been ready? Have we seen the crack and say we can get the gospel into those places? Or have we become so desensitized by the media and everything else that they are the ultimate enemy and we're not seeing them as lost souls who need Christ? It's a great opportunity. And part of the reason why I don't know if we're ready is because we are, let's be quite frank about it, we are caught up in the American dream. Churches and pastors aren't, and I'll use the word pushing a generation to come up and say, serve God with your life. And I still believe this. I still believe that young people who grow up in a church like this, they ought to go to Bible college. I find nowhere, there's nothing wrong with this line of work, but I find nowhere where God's calling people to get a nursing degree. Well, I'm just sucked the wind right out of the room. But how about we surrender to see souls saved? Now, if God will use that to open the door, I'm for that. But we're using a lot of excuses for not being ready. See, God loves every race, every language, every culture, every nation. Our heart should reflect His heart. Let me, happy 250 years. And I'm thankful for our nation. I don't think there's any, I think we all are. But I'm reminded by Scripture that I'm a citizen of another country. I'm an ambassador. Is there a culture you don't love? Is there a race you don't love? Is there a nation you don't love? God loves them all. I know we'll say, well, Pastor, I'm not God. Well, we're thankful for that. And it's not something you had to announce. We picked up on that. All I'm saying, and I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me tonight to remind us our heart should reflect His heart. That's why don't listen to Fox News more than you listen to the preaching of your pastor. Don't listen to CNN, period. But all of them will control your thinking if you allow it. Because it's not spiritually based. Let me say number two, the need is still great. I believe this. You know I love history, especially the Revolutionary War period, because those people were just different. And from that time to this, people stepped up for what the day called for. I don't want to get started on this path because we will be here a long time. I love telling the stories of those from especially that time period, the Revolutionary War period, who gave up their fortune. I mean, George Washington was a great man. We know that, the father of our country. There are some unsung heroes that we would not have a nation if it was not for them. I mean, John Hancock, we got to know it's more than just sign your John Hancock. We got to know what that means. I'm going to have to do it now. That man funded with his private wealth much of our revolution. Well, the time called for it. There's millions of souls dying on this planet. I'm sorry that while the American dream is here, the world has never been more open. You heard a man stand up here a few weeks ago and give testimony of an island off of the continent of Africa that is wide open. We could send 100 people there tomorrow and they would never get done with the open doors of the gospel. Duty demands it. The need is still great. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous. The Lord, when He spoke these words, He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. Do you think He meant it then? Sure He did. You know what? He means it now, too. And I hadn't said this in a while. It just popped in my head. Can I just make myself at home? Okay, I'm going to anyway. If you give to a political party and you don't give to missions, you need to come confess that tonight. If you have extra money and you want to give it to a political party, go right ahead, do what you want to do. But we ought to be given to missions. If you'll fund the political movement and you won't help Christian education, your priorities are out of line. The need's great. Number three, see how fast I'm moving through these? Aren't you happy about that? Every Christian has a part. Not everyone is called to go across the ocean. And I believe in these days that we live in, we live in a great opportunity here in the United States of America. Because literally the world has come here. I mean, there were 35 in our Spanish ministry. We're just getting that restarted. The world is coming here. The way travel is open in technology. You can sit in front of a computer here and train people in another country because of technology. Not everyone is supposed to go across the ocean, but some are. But may I say every believer can participate? Some go. Some give. All should pray. In fact, all should give. I say like this years ago, you should either go or give. So I don't feel called to go. Guess which one you get to be a part of. Well, I'm tired of giving. Guess which you get to do now. We can encourage missionaries. You know, every member can help fulfill the Great Commission right here. We ought to be partners in reaching souls. When you partner with your pastor, you partner with your Sunday school teacher, that's missions. Amen. That's the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Every Christian can have a part, and every Christian should have a part. And by the way, don't underestimate what God can use you for. Don't underestimate that. Number four, let me back up a little bit. You've heard the name D.L. Moody. Estimated 3 million people walk the aisles for salvation in his ministry. Think about that. It's not about this, but it illustrates it. Judgment seat of Christ. D.L. Moody, 3 million souls. You think he's going to get any kind of faithfulness crown? Probably. Ed Kimball. You don't know that name. Sunday school teacher who got a burden for a young man, won him to Christ. You get the analogy, there wouldn't be a D.L. Moody. You think of Hudson Taylor, I mentioned him a few moments ago. If you've never read the biography of Hudson Taylor, there's the unabridged and the abridged. I would recommend starting with the abridged. Unbelievable what God used that man to do. God used him greatly. But it all goes back to a mother and a father, as Hudson had prepared to. He was a medical doctor, and they prayed and prayed and prayed as the churches, as I referenced a moment ago, the door was open in China, and there was a call for missionaries to go to China. Well, if we could get back to that day and what's happening in the world dictates, I had plans, but now I got to drop them and I got to go see people saved. That would be okay today, wouldn't it? But they're praying and they're praying. Instead of praying for God to send somebody else's child to China, they said, would you show enough favor on us that you would send Hudson? Never mentioning to him what they were praying. And then the day came. Hudson had to say, I got to break some news to you. I don't know how you're going to respond to this. There's a faithful mom and dad that nobody knows their name, but they didn't just make a token presentation at an altar of a child dedication. Every Christian can have a part. Then number four, the rewards are eternal. Scripture tells us that one day in heaven there'll be people from every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping the Lamb. That's a fascinating thought to me. There are some nations that don't exist anymore. The Bible says that every nation, tribe, and tongue. There are some tribes, if I can say it like that today, that we don't even know about. Every tongue worshiping the Lamb. I don't know all that heaven's going to be like, but if we could just put it like this, imagine somebody from one of those nations, tribes, and tongues saying, I'm here because your church sent a missionary. There's no investment with greater eternal dividends than investing in souls. We're reminded that money spent on ourselves lasts for a moment, but money invested in missions and in souls lasts forever. See, friend, tonight, just as a reminder, and I've been blessed by having the diocese here, and I hope that you have as well, and to hear the good reports. I like to hear what God is doing in other places. I think God's blessing here. But then to hear what God is doing in other places is a blessing to me, an encouragement to me. The question tonight, and I don't have to convince us that the world needs the gospel. It's just a reminder tonight. And the reminder is for us to obey the command of Christ. You in your Sunday school class, are you giving to missions? I don't check it every week, but I'm pretty aware that where I try and keep the flow of where our missions giving is. There's some classes that do great, some that don't do at all. Very limited what they do. I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying, are you doing something for missions? Are you praying for those missionaries? What class has the diocese family? Victory? Do you pray for the diocese? I'm certain that you do. That as a church, it thrills our heart to hear the report, but as a class, we got to send laborers into the harvest. Where is the harvest? Is the harvest in the Philippines? Sure it is. Is it in Africa, where we have a trip next month? Sure it is. But it's also in our neighborhoods. It's in our workplaces. We shouldn't be, well, I guess, so we got to send laborers into the harvest, and it's some place on a map somewhere. Those laborers into the harvest are our neighbors, our co-workers. And might I remind us that we need to live with eternity in view? This is his final command, along with what he told those disciples that day when he ascended to heaven. That would be our first priority. We're going to go to invitation, and I want us to ask ourselves certain things. Can we pray tonight, Lord, increase my burden for souls? I'm not asking you whether you have a burden for souls. Whether you do or you don't, let's ask the Lord to increase our burden for souls. Wherever that is at, can we have more of a burden for souls? Let's ask God to help us be faithful in our giving. And you may say, I am faithful in our giving. Praise the Lord for that. Help, ask if he can increase our giving. See, this is what we do a lot of times, and I'm trying to help us. And the world's a big place, and there's a lot of need, and so sometimes we just get distracted. So let me help us all with this a little bit tonight. There are times when we have financial needs, we pray for that, and we should. But we ought to get in the habit of praying for the financial needs of the ministry, of the church. I'll throw out every once in a while, yeah, it'd be nice if we could raise $2 or $3 million to do this. Oh, Pastor, I don't know where he's going to find that. You know what the church ought to do then? We got something to put on our prayer list. And scratch out where it says, for our crazy pastor not to be crazy anymore. And say, God, would you give us that? We hear something, as we heard tonight, raising of money. We ought to pray for that. When I brought the need of Pastor Nie to y'all last week, I did not pressure you hard, and I did not go into a full court press to try and raise all that money because I knew God had it. And I knew God would deliver it. I just knew we needed to have our part, give what we can, and then let's ask God to provide the rest. And I gave the testimony Thursday, for those of you that couldn't be here for some reason. I got the last text that morning. We're sending a check of the exact amount that was left that was needed. That's God doing that. So we can come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, would you give us? Or, Lord, I'll give it if you'll give it. But as we pray that and we stumble along and say, oh, look what God gave me this week. Don't forget that you asked him to provide a way. May we pray tonight, would you use our church in an even greater way to reach the world with the gospel? I have to confess this to you. If you're new in the church, I want you to understand what you've got yourself into. Some of you that have been here a while, this will shock you. I have a broad vision. That's being sarcastic. I have a vision to reach the world with the gospel. So, Pastor, that's a little ambitious. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. So how are you going to do that? I'm not the one to do it. We just make ourselves available to have a part in reaching the world with the gospel. You know, the next generation is only going to hear if some are willing to give. Some are willing to go. Some are willing to pray. I remind us, when we reorganized our Sunday school ministry, that every Sunday school class adopts missionaries, but every Sunday school class has a mission field. Every Sunday school class was assigned a portion of our county, counties, city as their mission field. I think it would be a good thing to say tonight, an agreeable thing to say, with our missionaries to the Philippines, we could pray for God to save the Philippines. But are we that motivated for the mission field that we have as a Sunday school class? Something for us to think about. See, what we need to do in these United States of America at this time and point in our nation's history is we've got to be reminded that America is a mission field. It is a mission field. And I could ask the question tonight, who would go to the Philippines? I'm sure you'd find a place for them to serve, wouldn't you? But who's going to go to Jacksonville? Who's going to go to Florida? I'm not going to say Hawaii because some of you get the Holy Spirit if I said that. So I'm going to go raise support tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. But Hawaii is a needy place. Just some reminders tonight. I hope I haven't been too blunt. I'm usually not that way. But one day, church, every one of us, our race is going to be run. And we're going to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just being transparent and blunt one more time, what we have in our bank account tonight is not going to matter. The sacrifices you made and you're still bitter about, it's not going to matter. If we could find some way to even give everything that we had in our possession, to give all the time that we have, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, even in that scenario, we would say, I should have done more. Because when we're in His presence, the one who paid our sin price, who gave His life, we're going to see in Him in all of His glory, we're going to say, why didn't I sacrifice more? So it's just a challenge to all of us just to be a reminder. Let's make sure our mindset, let's reset some buttons tonight. Maybe you started giving to missions and it's kind of tapered off. Let's start back up tonight. Maybe that first quarter I said, hey, we need to get that budget up so that we can do more. Well, I didn't, but now it's, hey, ask God. If you were going out visiting with your Sunday school class, but you've kind of tapered off, what can we do? If you were praying for, sir, or you haven't ever been one that prays through that list of God, would you provide this or provide this, provide this? Let me just be transparent with you. I'm okay and I appreciate every gift put in that offering plate and don't stop. If God blesses you, give it. But I tell you what we need more than that is we need some members of the Emmanuel Baptist Church to say, I'm going to use my time and my life and my ministry to get a hold of God and have God get a hold of the hearts of people. Get a hold of God and say, God, would you provide so that we could do more? Would you do what we need to do more? Because God's got it. And just like if He blesses us with it, we ought to be a good steward and responsible. But if we don't have everything that we would like to have to do more for Him, we ought to be passionate about it. I'm going to go to Him and I'm going to do my best to get it from Him. Somebody ought to surrender to that. Somebody, if the Lord's impressed upon you to surrender the mission field tonight, surrender. But maybe somebody ought to surrender saying, "That I can do that. I can every day ask God to touch the heart of somebody. Because I promise you, there are people out there that God has blessed them, and they do want to do something for God. They do have a heart for God. They want what God has blessed them with to matter in eternity. And all they have to do, what they need is they need to see somewhere, someplace that still believes the old-time way, the old-time book, that God can still save this world, and that we got to invest in what God is doing. Maybe we ought to, maybe the message tonight isn't to give more, but to pray more. Because I know when it comes to you, say, Pastor, I ain't got nothing left. I understand that. But you got one more prayer in you? I think we got one more prayer in us, don't we? Father, help us to consider these truths and